Writing is the most powerful skill in the world, and this podcast is designed to help you do it better, quicker, and more effectively so that you can become the author of your dreams. My name is Leon Larouche. I'm your host, CEO, and founder of Trivium Writing. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Word Leader Podcast. We all know how important it is in our writing to actually understand what drives people. And what drives people is their personality and their behaviors. And so in today's episode, we're having a conversation with Ben Brensington, who is the founder and the CEO of Behavior Sales. So Ben helps people increase their conversions with behavioral intelligence. So Ben, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for making the time to talk to us. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's nice and warm down here in Tampa, Florida. I can tell you that.
Excellent. It's not so much in Toronto, but we're holding on. So Ben, tell us a little bit about how you got started, how you became interested in behavioral intelligence. Where did that come from, and how did you get started doing the work that you do?
Well, it's really simple, and it's a pretty basic storyline. If we want to go down the story path, the fact is that, man, I sucked at sales and communication. Like, I grew up as an introvert and one of those shy introverts that was scared of their own shadow, right? So the thought of public speaking was just a killer. And when you get into business or when you get into your first sales role and they're like, yeah, you got to go pick up that phone and make some calls. And they talk about it like it's so easy, right? Talk to the clients, talk to the leads. I would make any excuse. Like, I would literally rather go to the dentist than make a phone call, right? And as you can imagine, that doesn't bode well if your whole thing is your ability to connect with people. At the end of the day, it required me to work out, how do I do this and not be so scared? How do I not get anxiety when I'm talking to people? How do I really connect with people? And it's really just that quest of like, how do I get better? How do I improve? And it's been a constant evolution. And literally, like, I'm learning new things every single day because we're putting as much as this theory into practice, and that forces rapid learning, which is what's so exciting about this.
That's awesome. So one thing that you said just really stuck with me. You're talking about being a very shy introvert. I can tell you, so I'm more of an extrovert, perhaps an ambivert, but overall I'm pretty extroverted. And yet when it comes to sales, at least in the beginning, it was also hard. So what do you think in terms of understanding behaviors? Do you think that there is a big difference between introverts and extroverts when it comes to doing sales? Or what was it about, like, understanding behaviors that really got you, to get out of your head and start making these calls?
Well, there's a whole lot of it that's related to your own beliefs and your own belief patterns and how you think about that, right? So the whole introvert, extrovert debate is quite fascinating because I've seen some introverts who are phenomenal salespeople. However, it requires them to put on like this persona, like they have to step into their sales identity. And it's very exhausting for them. So they can't continue it for extended periods of time. Like, they get home, and the last thing they want to do is it's like taking off a jacket. You just don't want to put it back on. It's completely exhausting because they're literally stepping into a persona they've had to manufacture for the purpose of their job, connecting to people. And I don't think a lot of writers who are creating content take their content writing that far. Like, they look at a persona profile and they're like, oh yeah, I'm writing to a middle-aged lady who's 35 years of age. And they fail to factor in personality to any of these conversations, which is what's quite interesting. So when you factor in personality, your understanding of how people make decisions, how people act, how people interact, the reasons why they're doing things become so much more impactful, and it allows you to connect with people faster. And that's what's really important about understanding this metric, and that's what a lot of people miss, even if you're an introvert or an extrovert, because you can be an introvert and an extrovert in both, in all the four personality styles. But at the end of the day, you're still going to act in a certain way, which is what people need to understand more of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. That's fascinating. So when you talk about behaviors and personality, are you saying that the behaviors that you're looking at as a as a sales expert, the personality traits, these are what drive the behaviors in terms of decision making?
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the people who they get taught like a sales script or a sales process, right, which is all good and well, and it's usually about pitching it, the product or the service. But what they fail to do is connect with the individual. Because if you can't connect with the individual, they're not even going to be open to receiving your message. And we can actually analyze that with what we call our sales insights, where we analyze the conversations. And we can actually see, based on the words people are saying to you, if they're even interested in listening to your message, if they're even open to receiving it. And the thing is if they're not open to receiving it, no matter what you do or what you sell them, it really doesn't matter. Like they're not receptive. It's kind of like offering somebody a hot dog when all they want is ice cream, right? Like they're just like, yeah, a hot dog's great, but like, I just don't want a hot dog right now. I want some nice ice cream and with some chocolate syrup, right? That's what they're craving. So it's, which is what gets fascinating with all of this. And it's where people make a lot of these mistakes. Does it make sense?
It does. And so you've written books, I think three of them, and in the way that you write these books, how do you factor in that as well? Obviously, you know, we're talking about sales, so this is all communication. What is the translation process like in terms of factoring in these behaviors, these personality traits in your writing?
Yeah, so some of the things we're really doing is I'm really paying attention to the stories we're telling. And in each one, I try to tell a story. And I'm aware of, with the four personality styles, there's four different messages that have to be told to connect with that individual, right? And as a result, I need to wrap those either four messages into one story or tell four different stories. So you reiterate in different ways and each personality extracts the information they need from that. So like, let me give you an example, right? I say there's four personality styles. We use the bird method, so it's easy to remember. So there's a peacock, and the peacock is glitzy and glamour. Like that person wants to be famous. So if you're taking notes with your writing style, here's what you should be paying attention to. The peacock, the tagline of that person, that bird, is I want to be famous. We also then have the dove or the pigeon, and the tagline of this persona is I want to be your friend. So everything they're doing is about security. They're about belonging. And remember, a pigeon is a flighty animal, so they get scared easy, right? So the thing is you can factor that into your storytelling. The next bird is what we call the eagle. And that one wants to be the boss. So they want to be in control. They're very task oriented. They're all about ROI. They're about let's get it done, let's get it done, and let's move on, right? I'm sure you can all visualize these type of personas. And the last one is the L. And this person wants to be right. They want to be right more than anything else. And they're happy to be right over rich, right? So it gets interesting because when you're talking about writing, it's all about creating messages to different personas, right? But how often have you thought about what is the personality type of the person I'm writing to or who I'm trying to attract? And more importantly, what is my personality style? Because everything, if you're an eagle, for example, everything you write is going to be using eagle-based words. It's going to be speaking to the eagle peacock style person based on your language demographic. And you're therefore going to miss half the market just because of your writing style. Do you follow that?
I do.
Yeah. For example, what examples do you have based on what I just shared?
It's a great question. A lot of the time I think about, so in my work, I think more so about exactly like the type of stories that I tell, the types of words, you want to align with your audience education. In terms of, I'm not well versed enough in the personality types to have an example, but maybe you can give us one from one of your books.
Yeah. So one of the simple ways is literally based on how people want to get noticed. So, for example, most people don't realize the real difference between, like, let's take the peacock, for example. All they want is they want achievement, they want recognition, they want praise, right? What they really hate, so their complete turnoffs, right, is not being noticed. They hate being criticized. So, like, any form of feedback, like, feedback can instantly feel like criticism to them because they can take it personally. And like, it's an insult when all you did was give them some like polite feedback. So they hate also bureaucracy and they hate having no one to talk to, for example. So when you think of like that style of persona, you've instantly got somebody's loves and hates just because of their personality type. And a lot of the time when people are writing content, they're like, well, what is this person? What are they thinking about? How are they making a decision or what's their reasoning? And they go, well, it's just a 35-year-old lady with two kids and she loves to bake, right? That's what some people kind of think, right? They get a picture of that person. But they've never really stepped that step further. Like, what are her beliefs? What are their beliefs? What's the beliefs of the person? What's the logic? What are their wants? What are their desires? And if you use personality, you literally get a blueprint for every single one of these. Like, it literally, it's just there. And then you can build off that. So when you're writing your story, you can be talking about how I was walking down the street in my sexy new pants, which made me feel all confident. And I just noticed how people noticed me. Do you see the word difference on how you can actually wrap that in much easier? There's lots of ways you can use that. It's like, I was walking down the street and I felt like I was getting an applause from everybody's eyes, right? Like, that's instantly a way that just speaks to that specific personality type. So for people who are wanting like this writing cheat sheet, if they use this personality type style, they'll get far further in the depth of their writing, even though they like haven't had to take a master course on this. It doesn't require you to master it, even when you just leverage the basics.
Mm-hmm. So you've got these personality types, and every personality type comes with some sort of semantic field with all these words that make them resonate with what it is that you're 100%. Writing.
Right? Yeah. The book we're releasing, it's like we literally talk about their wants. We talk about their dress, like how they can be seen. We talk about how they communicate, what they love. We talk about their strengths, their shortcomings. Like, we literally give them this cheat sheet that, if you think about it, like, it's the persona of someone you're writing to. Like, is this the type of doctor you're talking to if you're writing ad copy, or if you're writing blog posts for promotion for clients? Well, what type of persona am I creating and who am I attracting? And like, therefore, instead of trying to map this into one piece of content, maybe you'd be better to create four different types of content speaking to the different personality types. And therefore, it's more effective for your clients and you get better results all around, right?
Mm-hmm. So my question is, when you write content, for example, you know, you could take me, for example, I have my business, I write content, I talk to people on sales calls, should you be trying to cater to all four different personality types, or should you be focusing would your target or ideal client be just one personality type, or should you go for all of them either at the same time or in different contexts?
Well, great question. So one of the things you have to be aware of is you resonate with certain personality types and you piss off others. So, mm-hmm. For example, if you're the eagle, which I'm an eagle, so I can be too direct, I can be too forthcoming, I can just tell people how it is, like it's black or white, right? And I will give you that data. And the thing is, to some of the personality types, like, they think that's arrogant, they think it's too much ego, they think it's like too brash, right? So the thing is there's certain personality types I know I don't resonate with. So I have to slow down the way I'm talking. For example, if I'm talking too fast, because the eagle is fast talking, they want to get stuff done, where the owl is a slow talker. They need time to think about what you're saying, right? So you have to accent words differently. So what I do is, like, I become aware of who I'm talking to. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't really work well with this personality type. So you know what? Is it best for me to even one, attract them because I want to filter them out because I don't work well with them? Is it best for me to waste my sales team's time or my own time working with them when I know there's just going to be this like constant like bird fight of personalities and personas? Because let's face it, you don't resonate well with everybody, right? And just because someone's paying you, do you really want to be working with them if it's just an emotional conflict? Like, if that's the big question. Some people are like, yeah, I need the money. I'm like, all right, well, you're just going to find you chasing your tail and it's never going to be really satisfying for you. So I always get clear and we segment our list based on personality types. And then we literally, because one of the things we do is we can convert an email address into a personality profile. So before I'm even reaching out to people, I know what their personality type is. And if they're not who we're looking for, we literally filter them out and don't even market to them because we don't want to talk to them in the first place. So that's kind of my recommendation for people.
Mm. And so if you take a business owner like myself, how would you go about figuring out? So you already have, you know, dozens of clients. You're looking to sort of implement that. Like, where do you start in terms of figuring out, you know, the personality types?
Yeah, so it's really easy. So what we do is we literally, we're doing a personality type assessment with you and literally all of your staff, all of your writers, because then you can actually map who your team is and what's going on. We can actually then literally analyze the email address or LinkedIn profiles of your clients and show you who you've attracted. And then you can look at, hey, these clients are all an eagle, for example. These clients are all a dove. And you know what? They piss me off, right? Great. Okay. So we can work out different ways to work with those clients or either get rid of them. You can also look at your biggest problem clients and compare them to the clients you love and go, what is the difference? Is there a difference in personality or is there somebody on their team that's more supportive that you connect with? So we use our software that literally does all this stuff in one click. We just provide the data and it gives us the reports. And now we get to use that insight into making actionable decisions is what we do.
That's really, really fascinating. And so just to go back a little bit in terms of your story, what was a big aha moment when you realized that personality and behavior was the answer? How did you come to that realization?
Well, I got taught hard closing, pressure closing, and things like that with people. And it was just never comfortable for me, right? Like, so the thing is like, I felt like I was having to be false to myself. And when I did a lot of research, I felt that I found that authenticity of the person you're talking to is actually more important than high pressure closing them. Because if you're actually authentic in your presentation, people will buy that authenticity more than they'll buy the pressure close. And what I learned was it's more about how things are said than what is said. Like I was always looking for this perfect sales script, like this. There has to be something that's perfect, some formula, something that is perfect. And the reality is there's not. It's literally all about the tonality of the person. And when we were started to analyze the data, I can actually tell if you and I are in sync, for example. Are we using the same word patterns? Are we using the same word style? Do I have influence over you? Satisfy your needs and wants and desires from like a behavioral perspective? And when you start mapping that data, you're like, it kind of creates a lot of eye-opening moments because a lot of the sales methodology that's taught is just fluff and smoke and mirrors because and what becomes important is like one of the things we can do is we can predict churn. And when I say churn, I mean we can predict if your customer is about to leave you. We can predict if your employees are about to leave you just because of how they start to change their word patterns. And for a lot of companies, that's extremely valuable. So if one of the worst things that you can experience as a salesperson is when you close somebody into a sale and you like the next day they want to cancel, they want a refund, or you're dealing with all these refund requests for the next 30 days. And you're like, what the hell? Like, and you realize it's all this communication gap and that high pressure sales techniques that a lot of companies use still today, like phone sales, it's all based on this high pressure system that's forcing people to make rash decisions, which is actually counterproductive to how they feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And in my experience, what I found, so when I first started learning sales, I was introduced to some variation of the straight line selling system. And, was introduced to like a couple of different variations. And everybody's like, they have like the best sales script. They have like the one best like conversion method. And, what I noticed as a prospect myself from time to time, I really hated the straight line selling system because it just felt like I was forced onto that line in that box. And so you would never hear a story or you would never actually feel listened to because they're so focused on, staying on that line and getting you to the close. And, it's funny because when they dig for the pain, sometimes there's no pain, but there's just desire. There's just anticipation for a better future. And a lot of the time salespeople, they'll keep digging for the pain when there's none. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
One of the things we've actually started doing with that is like we've actually been starting to story arc the data and actually starting to see like over a conversation, what is that arc? And like trying to map the journey to the hero's journey or all the other various story arcs that we're doing right now, which is going to be very interesting for us because there needs to be an emotional arc. Like you've got to have your positive and you've got to feel sad at different times. But here's the thing. If you finish a call and your lead is having a negative emotion, that negative emotion festers. So this is what I call the happiness sandwich. So the thing is people literally only remember the start of something and the end of something. The middle of stuff, they kind of like smoosh together like a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Right. So the thing is, the most important thing you can do with any sales call you have or any client conversation you have is make sure it starts happy and ends happy because that's what they'll remember. So the thing is, we actually started mapping the data and it's just like, well, when you start to notice the conversations or the email chains that ended sad, ended negative, that becomes very impactful to determine, well, hey, does this start to fester a bigger issue? Does it create a problem? Because you may want to close them on something else, but you've literally left them in a negative state and you can't do anything until you've addressed that negative state. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I remember one of the first sales calls that I was on as a prospect. I remember I was 23 years old. I wanted to start my business. And so this company was going to help me, launch my business. And the guy was like digging for pain. And I was like, there's no pain. I just want to start my business. And the reason I want to do that is because I know I can, I'd rather do that than have a corporate job. And that was it. But it's so funny because it didn't fit the paradigm that the sales guy had. And so from what I'm understanding from you, correct me if I'm wrong, but the story arc that you take the prospect through, it has to change and has to be flexible based on what they're telling you. And that's a big, that's kind of one of the weaknesses in the straight line selling system.
100%. Yeah. And it doesn't vary for the emotion. They want to push everybody in because a lot of the people who were doing that were like the eagle style personality. And I know Jordan Belfort. And the thing is with that, he's a high D if you're on the disc profile or like a dominant eagle, really. And effectively, like he's just task, 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 right? So the thing is that system was literally built off his personality style where they tried to replicate him. And anyone who is an eagle or a peacock can kind of be smooshed onto that line. But if you're the dove or the owl, or you've got that secondary traits there's complete conflict and turmoil. It just does not resonate because it just doesn't fit your decision-making process, your logic, your rationale, none of that. And that's where the problems happen. So remember, even with the straight line, like you're literally talking to maybe best case, you're talking to 2 out of 4 personality styles at all. The thing is there is pain, or maybe it's not pain, it's that desire. So the thing is that's more of a quest style story. So the thing is if I'm talking to somebody about a quest, I need to be aware of that they're framing their desires in a positive light and they're not looking for the pain, right? So they're attracted to pleasure. So I have to talk to you now about those desires you have, not about your insecurities and not about the pain, because that's not what you're attracted to. And this is what a lot of salespeople miss. So even just listening to the words you're saying and what you're attracted to is what I need to use in my sales script and go, okay, cool. I can alter my script to fit your style. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And so I remember there came a point where I'd been using some sales scripts and I looked at, you know, a couple of different, you know, I don't know, maybe 5-10 different sales scripts. And that system that we're talking about wasn't really working for me. And so what I noticed though was that if I reduce these sales scripts to their simplest components, they were all the same. They all had, you know, these different questions. And so I reduced that to question words. And what I noticed was for myself, as long as I hit these components, it didn't matter what the order was. As long as I hit them, it worked. But I felt a lot more comfortable, you know, not following that straight line and actually taking the time to tell stories to prospects and letting prospects tell stories as well. And so that we can actually have a real conversation, not just like pushing them to the end of the call and trying to close, which, you know, I was never really able to do anyway.
Oh, I think you're on. Yeah, that's the reality of what most people would to be aware of. And that's why we teach literally the closer framework and being adaptive to that, because it's very simple. The closer framework is literally clarify why we're here today, right? C is clarify. L is label, like literally label their problem. Like, what is your problem? And that could be your desire, right? Label you. So by me labeling you, it's reiterating your words back to you, making you feel connected to me. And most people aren't aware of that psychology. So they're like fake listening and they're not. And then what they do is the worst thing you could ever do is label your problem in my words. Because then you're like, it's kind of it, but not really it, right? It's kind of like when you've had poutine in Montreal and you come for poutine here in Tampa. The cheese curds just and the gravy just ain't the same. So it's just like, it's kind of like poutine, but it's not poutine, right? So
yeah. And then the people in New Jersey, they call it like disco fries, like kind of, but no.
Yeah, no. It's just, no. I want poutine. I want the legit poutine, right? But anyway, so, the next part of closure is obviously, so it's overview the past pains, right? So overview, what have you tried? It's like, what have you done in the past? Where have you made the mistakes? What have you done? Like, what is the history? And then the whole point of S is literally selling them the vacation, selling them the future result, right? And by doing all of this in story is literally the best thing you can do, because you can showcase stories using the personality types of the people they resonate with. And then obviously E is just explain away their concerns, and R is just reinforce their decision. So you're constantly having to resell people once you've sold them, no matter what personality type they are, because that just gives them confidence in what they're doing. So like if you use that framework, the closer framework, they'll be far more successful. And the whole thing lends itself extremely well to story-based selling. And that's how we learn as humans. We learn best by story.
So it's clarify, label, then...
Overview. So overview, past pain, history, right? S is sell the vacation, so the future. So I don't want to worry about the flight to Hawaii, right? I would just want to worry about Hawaii. So sell me the relaxing beach, the Mai Tais, the scuba, the snorkeling. Like, I don't care that I've got to go through TSA and get a strip search. And like, if you're selling that, you're going to wreck the vision. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And that's where a lot of people get stuck in the features and the benefits of their product, which is where they fail. E is explain. So explain away their concerns. So fears, objections, all that type of stuff. And if you understand them well enough, you'll know what they are. And then R is just reinforce.
Excellent. So how easy is it for you at this point to figure out personality types based on writing or conversation? Would you be able, just from our conversation, to know what my personality type is?
100%. And that's literally why we created the AI, because I realized that I didn't want to replicate me, but I had to replicate the framework. Because how do I give you the tool to analyze the email you just received? How do I give you the tool to analyze the LinkedIn profile without you having to do a month-long boot camp on how to read and detect personality and what are the different linguistic patterns? Because you know what? You've got a whole lot more life to enjoy rather than learning about where spaces and bullet points and all this type of stuff should be and what it means to a personality style, right?
Yeah, It's fascinating. I feel the same about writing style in general. And in fact, it has a lot to do with what you're talking about, because there's a lot of patterns when it comes to writing, whether it be grammatical, rhetorical, logical, that we can understand. And I spend a whole lot of time analyzing. But eventually, you know, one of my goals is to create some sort of machine that can do that at a larger scale. So definitely understand the value and the utility of having that kind of tool in terms of, you know, helping people get their prospects and clients' personality types.
Yeah, and that's some of the stuff you're starting to see even now with like the what they call GPT-3 or the OpenAI projects. And there's a whole lot of now these writing assistant tools out there that will kind of help you frame writing. I know there's some interesting stuff we want to be able to do is by literally be able to use those same tools, but say, hey, I want to write this to an eagle and frame the language in that context. And literally it takes the context and frames it all under that style. So there's some really cool stuff that's happening right now because of AI and how big data can be used.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is my personality type?
Your personality type, you'd certainly be the L Dove personality type is what I would say.
Interesting.
Do you like the knowledge? You want to take things, security, structure, and systems. You like knowing the rules. You like understanding the rules. And you're not the quickest person to act.
Yeah, that's not wrong. And
thank God for that. Like, Jesus.
It's interesting because you were talking about the ego and how Jordan Belfort is an ego, and I personally do not relate at all with him.
Yeah, well, so that's a good indicator of understanding what you're not. So one of the best things you can do is like, okay, there's four birds. So what are you not? So if you're not the eagle, right, it's easy to, you can also work people out. Are you the peacock? You like showy, you like the attention. You're doing a podcast, so you must like some attention. You must like talking to people. But I would probably put that more into the column of the dove style, like that socializing, connecting with people, sharing your knowledge. Knowledge is the L characteristic, and it's the systems and the rules. And so I would say you're probably more dove style. And that's how the podcast is fulfilling that need of socialization, building your brand, building your persona. But it's not necessarily for the status symbol of, hey, look at me, like I got a podcast type thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, you know, that's a big part of, you know, my business where I help people write and publish books. You know, my clients, they want to have, you know, their biggest goal with the book is really to have that sense of connection and have that achievement. But it's not so much to have like the number one best-selling bestseller logo on their profile, although that's a nice to have, but for them, that's not a priority. On the other hand, you have people, that's really all they want. And so there are businesses catering to people like that, but that's not the type of person that I work with. So it's really interesting that you're giving us a grammar and a vocabulary to think about these things, because I think, you know, if you're self-aware and if you're really paying a lot of attention to your processes and you know how your business works, you start seeing these things, but you don't necessarily have the grammar and the words to really talk about those things. So that's super interesting.
100%. Yeah.
So where can listeners learn more about your business, and where can they get resources? What would you suggest if they want to learn a little bit more about these personality types? You have a couple books, you have resources on your website. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that what I'd recommend is they can just check out behaviorsales.com. If they reach out to our support team and mention the book, we can actually give them access to the, if they mention the podcast, they will actually give them access to the ebook, of People Ignorant, our latest book. And from that, you'll be able to understand a lot of the personality types, what it means, how you can use them. And then you can start to see how it can apply to you. We've also got a community that they can access, which is free to access, and they can come and ask questions, and we can role play things with them and provide them all the support they need. But behaviorsales.com, you can spell it the English way or the American way. At the end of the day, you'll end up at the same spot.
Very smart. You bought the domain for both, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very, very smart. Awesome. So is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Or anything
you'd like to leave the listeners with?
The only tip I'd recommend, if you're writing, just be aware of what your personality style is, because your personality style may not be who you're trying to connect with. So the more you can become aware of yourself, the more effective as a writer you will be in connecting with others. So that would be my biggest takeaway tip. That would be about it.
I love that. It very neatly fits with this whole idea of writing as a form of leadership, because at the end of the day, that's a big part of what leadership is, you know, to be aware of yourself and to be aware of the world around you and the people around you and adapting to the different types of people in order to be a good leader and a good writer. So thanks 100%. So much again for your time today. Really appreciate your insights. So everyone, go check out it's behaviorsales.com. Hey everybody, it's Leon. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please leave us a review, share this podcast, and I will talk to you in the next episode.